So, here I am, dismissing all of these fables, which I am aware that if you've come to a Buddhist centre like this, you may well have heard these in your Introduction to Buddhism course. In fact, I've told some of them, and I've said the Buddha had four sights, and that may have touched you very deeply, and may have been very important as a window into the Buddha's message. And here I am saying, well, it didn't happen. Well, fables have power, but when we relate to a figure of fable, it establishes a particular relationship with that figure. It invites us into a certain mode of relating, a certain mode of thinking. And if you can't enter into that mode, it's quite distancing. So if the Buddha is an inhabitant of a fairy tale domain, where he lives in a palace as a child, entirely devoted to pleasure, where his father has ensured that the thorns are taken off the rose bushes so that he never experiences pain, then he's living in a different world from the one that we inhabit. In the case of the four sights, you really have to imagine yourself into this kind of fairy tale world in order to relate to those four sights. And that has a strong effect. And Dr. Ambedkar, for example, who is the great figure who led the conversion to Buddhism among Indians from the lowest stratum of Indian society, who've been considered untouchables under the caste system, he very angrily rejected the story of the four sights because he felt that that was entirely confusing for his followers. You know, rejecting the world in that way wasn't something that he wanted them to do. He wanted them to change the world. And an image of a world of pleasure would be something they could relate to when they're experiencing such persecution and suffering. It was nonsense. So for Ambedkar, the four sights was definitely something to be rejected. Fables shape our perceptions.